This is our devotional commentary for Job chapter 6. I'm Pastor Doug Corlew. Welcome to the Abide Podcast, where we daily begin with the reading of God's Word. Then Job answered and said, "Oh, that my vexation were weighed and all my calamity laid in the balances, for then it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words have been rash, for the arrows of the Almighty are in me. My spirit drinks their poison. The terrors of God are arrayed against me. Does the wild donkey bray when he has grass, or the ox low over his fodder? Can that which is tasteless be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the juice of the mallow? My appetite refuses to touch them. They are as food that is loathsome to me. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would fulfill my hope, that it would please God to crush me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. This would be my comfort. I would even exult in pain unsparing, for I have not denied the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should wait? And what is my end that I should be patient? Is my strength the strength of stones? Or is my flesh bronze? Have I any help in me when resources driven from me? He who withholds kindness from a friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty. My brothers are treacherous as a torrent bed, as torrential streams that pass away, which are dark with ice, and where the snow hides itself. When they melt, they disappear. When it is hot, they vanish from their place. The caravans turn aside from their course. They go up into the waste and perish. The caravans of Tema look. The travelers of Sheba hope. They are ashamed because they were confident. They come there and are disappointed. For you have now become nothing. You see my calamity and are afraid. Have I said, 'Make me a gift?' Or, 'From your wealth, offer a bribe for me?' Or, 'Deliver me from the adversary's hand? Redeem me from the hand of the ruthless? Teach me, and I will be silent. Make me understand how I have gone astray. How forceful are upright words. But what does reproof from you reprove? Do you think that you can reprove words when the speech of a despairing man is wind? You would even cast lots over the fatherless and bargain over your friend. But now, be pleased to look at me, for I will not lie to your face. Please turn, let no injustice be done. Turn now, my vindication is at stake. Is there any injustice on my tongue? Cannot my palate discern the cause of calamity?" He has no status, no family, no job, and no hope. Sitting on the rubbish dump outside the city gate, Job is despised and rejected. Three friends have come to visit him, but they offer cold comfort. Eliphaz was the first to speak, responding to Job's transparent outcry of grief. Noting that God is just, he implies that Job must have done something to deserve his misfortune. But as readers, we know Job's suffering is not the result of his sin. He is a godly man with a friend who has misdiagnosed the situation, only adding to his despair. Job's response to Eliphaz takes up the next two chapters. In the opening verses of Job 6, he insists that he has every reason to cry out with such an extreme lament. His anguish and misery are beyond calculation. Verses 2 and 3. But he does not flinch from the obvious. In God's universe, God himself must somehow be behind all these calamities. "For the arrows of the Almighty are in me. The terrors of God are arrayed against me." Verse 4. In fact, this is the root reason why Job is hurting so deeply. It's not just the losses themselves, but the realization that the God who controls everything is firing poisonous arrows at him. His friends are treating him as if he has no reason to complain. But even an animal does not bellow and bray if it is properly fed. Can they not see that Job's wild outburst is due to the inedible diet he has been given to eat? The words of his friends are tasteless in light of his terrible circumstances. Verses 5 through 7. Job remains a committed believer, passionate in his commitment to God. This is actually why he longs for God to simply crush him. More than a death wish or desire to be released from suffering, Job's concern is that the intensity of his pain might drive him to say or do something that would dishonor God. It does not occur to Job to take his own life, for he knows that life is God's to give and God's to take. But if God would take him soon, at least he would die with the comfort of knowing he had not denied the words of the Holy One. Verses 8 through 10. There is an urgency to Job's prayer because of his frailty, both physically and psychologically. To hold on and not curse God, he will need to be strong as a rock. And he isn't. He's feeling desperate with no resources to cope. Verses 11 through 13. Meanwhile, Job reprimands his so-called friends who have been unkind, verse 14, and undependable, verse 15. Why? Job's calamities have made them fearful, verse 21. They thought he was a righteous man. Now they must prove he's unrighteous, or their simplistic theology will be threatened. Verses 14 through 23. As Job sees it, his own integrity is at stake. With a clear conscience, he will not fake repentance in an effort to manipulate God. He pleads with his friends to understand. Verses 24 through 30. Thanks for listening to the Abide Podcast. For more information about Summit Church of Alta, go to summitefc.com. And I'll meet you again next time as we abide, living daily in the Word.